Prayer request? Okay. Open up your Bibles to we'll go to Mark chapter 11. I'm going to read something out of Acts real quick, but go to Mark chapter 11 and I'll read this thing out of Acts real quick. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 31, it says, "And said Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God." You know, one of the first things I heard when I got born again was, you can't be born again. God doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. You said the sinner's prayer. God don't hear the prayer of sinners. Well, I got a Bible for it. Right there in Acts chapter 10, verse 31. Cornelius, his prayers got heard. I promise you God hears the prayers of sinners, because that's how we get born again. If he didn't hear the prayers of sinners, we wouldn't get born again. Amen? That's one of those religious scruples. But it's a bad one for people to spread around, you know. But anyway, now go to Mark chapter 11, verse 24. And what we're going to talk about is praying for results. You know, there's so many times people pray hoping something will happen. You know, they kind of bat the air with some doubt and unbelief and some religious tradition and kind of hope something happens. You know, we'll try this, we'll give this a shot. And that's not going to do much for them. And then there's another group that will actually get word for their prayer and pray in faith, but when they get back out in the real world, outside of the building, get out there, they drop it. We're going to talk about praying for results, but how you got to stay dead centered on your target. Now, Mark chapter 11, verse 24. This is Jesus talking here. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." You know, there's a lot of people running around saying you get what you pray for, and that's just not true. It's just not. You get what you believe you receive. Amen? You know, if we got what we prayed for, there would be nobody working. That, it's just not realistic. But you get what you believe you receive. Now, when you begin your prayer based on God's word, you are starting with the answer. You're returning his word to him. Didn't the Bible say no word of his would return to him void? I mean, every time you return his word to him, it's going to have power and meaning. The word contains the answer to every problem that could confront you. You know, there's no challenge that we face that's new. I mean, somebody has been through something that you've been through before. This is why it's important for people to share. There's a difference now. There's testimonies. Testimony is not a war story, but you would think that's what it is. You know, the people will spend 35 minutes talking about how The devil drug him through every loophole of life that he could find backwards, and then spent 5 seconds saying, "But God saved me, I'm okay." A testimony is all the good things that God has done for you. Amen? That's a testimony. There's a thing called experience, strength, and hope. Your experience would be what you went through. The strength is what you got from God. And the hope is what you share with somebody else. When you say, "You've been through it, God got you through it, and He'll get you through it." Amen? That's experience, strength, and hope. It's not testimony. Amen? Unfortunately, too many Christians don't want to share their experience. They want it to just be buried in the sea of forgetfulness. And as far as God is concerned, it is forgotten. But as far as your neighbor is concerned, if you see them going through the same thing you went through, don't be too ashamed to go over there and share with them how God got you through it. Amen? Unfortunately, they just don't want anything like that remembered. And that's not biblical. But anyway, in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, after you've figured out that you've got a problem, understand that it's because there's already an answer. See, people think the problem came first and then you go find the answer. You know what came first, the chicken or the egg? The answer came first. This is a clue. The answer came before the problem. It really did. God put Adam in the garden and He blessed him. And He said, "Here you go. Be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth. Do all this stuff. Keep this garden going. Take care of this thing for me." The problems didn't come until Satan went in there and got a hold of that blessing and twisted it. So every problem is nothing more than a twisted version of the curse. You got sickness in your body? That's because the blessing of healing got twisted and got turned into the curse of sickness. Everything has an answer. And it's in the Word of God. So the next step in praying effectively is you must believe you receive when you pray. This is a biggie. And it is rampant throughout the church. It says, do not wait for a manifestation. Do not wait until the manifestation comes to believe you receive it. See, there's too many times people don't feel something, they don't see something, they don't hear something, say, "Well, it didn't happen. Must not have got it. Well, I've already waited for 3 days. I must have prayed wrong, or it must not have been God's will." No. You got to get your mind right on this. Even in the, you know, one time, this lady, we were in a Southern Baptist church, and she wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, "Okay." So she came out there shaking like a leaf. We prayed, and she said, you know, she asked God to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, "Okay." And just sit there and relax and ask the Holy Spirit how to operate in this stuff. And everybody's looking at her, and I said, "You were looking for a manifestation. before you believed that she received something. You were waiting for her to fall on the floor and start speaking in tongues or do something. But you believe, you receive. And then the manifestation comes. Sometimes it comes instantly, sometimes it'll come a little later. But here's where you got to get to know God personally. The problems will diminish. Meditating on His Word is going to get that promise built up in your heart. See, God told Joshua to meditate on His Word day and night. That's literally, you're looking at this Word and you're feeding on it and you're trying to understand it, and you got a promise and you're sitting there looking at it. And you keep looking at it, and you keep looking at it, and you keep looking at it, and say, well, I don't quite understand it. Well, look at it some more, and meditate on it some more, and just walk around meditating that Word. And eventually, the Holy Spirit's going to drop that into you. You're going to get a rhema word on that. It means you're going to get a revelation of it. You're going to get it from God. Amen? All of a sudden, you're going to understand something that you didn't understand before. You'll probably wake up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and sit straight up in bed and say, I know what that means now. I got it. I understand it. Might not have it clicking upstairs, but you got it here. And you just know you got it here. And it's burning in your heart. That'll only come through meditation. Go to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? This would be a good place to start for a lot of people. Because they treat God like He's a liar. They'll say, no. And I say, yeah. Because you pray in faith, asking Him something, and then you go about your day as if it's not there. Like He's not going to do it. Or like He changed His mind. Or something. Sometimes I think this internet world that we live in has, it's good in a lot of ways, but in some ways it's hampered our faith. It's hampered our patience. You know, do you remember we used to lick a stamp, fill out an envelope, and put a check in there, fill out a form, and send that off, and it'd take a week or two to get where it was going, and then it'd take them a week to fill out the order, and then it'd take a week or two to get back to you, or whatever. You know, you could be waiting 3 or 4 weeks to get something in the mail. Now we just punch a button on our computer, and we got it in 15 minutes or 5 minutes or instantly. Heaven forbid a cloud should come over and slow the internet up a little bit. We're panic stricken. Our patience is not there anymore. You know, and it's hampered people's faith. You know, well, I've already been standing in faith for 2 days. How long is this going to take? It's going to take however long it takes. See, this is the important part about the prayer of faith, is your patience in standing and watching over your word. You know, when you sow seeds, you watch over it. You know, you go out there and you water it. You take care of it. And you pull the weeds out. And you do whatever you got to do to keep the critters out of it. And you make sure the seed is taken care of. It's got to be the same way with your prayer. Now, you can't go in there and pray the prayer of faith to be healed and walk out that door and say, I'm so sick I can't even hardly walk. And the doctor says, I only got 2 months. No, you're going to have to say with a long life, will he satisfy me and show me his salvation? I'm healed by his stripes. Your words are going to play an important part on your prayers. You can trust God. You can trust his integrity when you pray. Just apply your faith in your prayers. How are you going to get this faith? Where does this faith come from? Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you look at that word God in the concordance, you'll find out it's the word of Christ. You know, because you could hear somebody preach to you the Ten Commandments and the law every day. And that is the word of God. And it is holy, righteous, and true. Amen? But it's not going to build faith in your heart. It's not going to build one lick of faith in your heart. It's going to build fear and condemnation, but not faith. But when you hear the words of Christ, that builds faith. When you hear the words that Jesus said, you hear the words in the New Testament, that's going to build faith in your heart. Amen. Now, go to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And God said that the just shall live by faith. So if he says that the just shall live by faith, then it is evident that we can live by faith. Yeah. He told us to live by faith and not made it possible for us to live by faith, and he would be an unjust God. But we know he's not unjust. He's fair. And he knows, we know here from this Bible that he gave us the measure of faith. And then he showed us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, how to build this faith by hearing the words of Christ. You know, you can get tapes, you can get emails, you can get, there's all kinds of ways to get plugged into the Word of God. There's all kinds of ways to hear that. But here's the thing, you need to keep hearing it. You know, one habit that people have is they'll get a tape series. Say it's a 4-tape series. They'll listen to that, and they'll put it away and get another one. And then they'll put it away, and then they'll get another one. But I would say that you'd be better off if that 4-tape series struck you hard enough to buy that thing, then maybe you should sit there and listen to those tapes over and over and over and over and over again and see if you can get what the Holy Spirit is trying to get into you. Amen? And keep hearing it and keep meditating on it. Pretty soon, you're going to zero in on one of those tapes, and you're going to zero in on one section of one of those tapes, and there's going to be something in there that is so important to you. The Holy Spirit will guide you to it. There'll be something in there that is so important to you that you won't be able to let it go. And then you will finally get a rhema word on it. You'll get a revelation of what He's trying to get into your heart. And then you own it. Yeah? Then you got it. So faith is developed by spending time in the Word. That's how we get it. We spend time in His Word. Once you have prayed in faith, you must hold fast to your confession. You've got to answer. This is where the watching comes in. This is where the standing comes in. You've got to answer. You have to maintain your faith by keeping your confession. What you say must be in line with the Word. See, when you pray here, your confession is going to have to be the same at the grocery store in Alpine. It's going to have to be the same at the gas station down the street. It's going to have to be the same at home as it is here. It can't be one way here and another way there and expect anything to happen. I don't know if you've noticed, but when the real pressure hits, it's always out there. Have you noticed that? And then it really, the pressure really comes down on you when you're in bed. When you get quiet and your mind is sitting there thinking about all this stuff, that's when the pressure really comes. When you're trying to figure it out. See, this is when you got to learn how to turn it over to God and say, I can't figure this thing out. I'm going to sleep. So I'm turning this over to You. Show me what to do. And then go to sleep. Now look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." How about that? A rest. "For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man shall fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." What we said in our prayer needs to be the same when we're at work. It needs to be the same when we're fishing. It needs to be the same wherever we're at. It's got to be the same. We need to speak faith-filled words about our challenges, about our problems. Yeah. It's got to be that way. You pray the prayer of faith, and then you need to keep speaking faith-filled words towards your problem. You know, Jesus said to speak to your mountain. He didn't say talk about your mountain. He said talk to your mountain. Most people run around talking about their mountain. How big that thing is. I told a lady one time, I said, you are pole vaulting over mouse turds. This problem you got is so small, it's going to go away in just a little bit, but it's a huge mountain in your mind. That's all you can think about. You're not looking at the answer. You're not looking at the solution. You're looking at the problem. You know, when Peter looked at the problem, he started thinking. But when he had his eyes on Jesus, he was walking on water. That's the key. When you get your eye on the Word, which is the answer, and praise helps. Praise is one of your key tickets to getting rid of your problem. You know, the Bible does say we offer up the sacrifice of praise. You know, when you're on top of the mountain and things are going your way, and I mean everything is cool and smooth, it's easy to shout hallelujah, say, God, I love you, you're so good to me. How about when you're down in the valley and the wolves are to the right and the wolves are to the left and they're everywhere you look? That's when you offer up the sacrifice of praise. What that is going to do, that's going to get your eyes off the wolves and get your eyes on God, which is the answer. And praise confuses the enemy anyway. And guess what happens? Pretty soon you find that you walked through your little valley of the shadow of death. Yeah. You're going to walk through it anyway. You know, you can spend a week walking through it, or you can spend 6 months walking through it. You know, the children of Israel spent 40 years walking through that desert trying to get to the promised land. And it's not that far. It doesn't take 40 years to walk from Egypt to Israel. But it's up to you how long you want to walk around in the desert. If you want to hustle up, get your eye on God, get your eye on the answer, and go. Amen? Look at Proverbs chapter 18. People don't understand how dangerous a loose tongue is. You know, we'll go driving down the road and have the radio on and just sing any old country song that we hear, and we'll, you know, whatever. If you just stop and listen to those country songs and think about what you just said. See, when I learned that I had to start controlling my tongue, there were some songs that seemed to just keep coming on the radio, and they just drove me nuts. Absolutely nuts. And I just... I couldn't listen to it. And there's one song that if the devil danced in empty pockets, I don't know how many times that song came on when I was learning to try to get a hold of my tongue and try to control that thing and try to keep a confession of faith out there. Because I was getting oil filled and I'd get running around and I'd get busy and I'd just get in a rhythm and I'd be going. Pretty soon I'd hear myself singing one of those nut songs and I'd think, oh my God, what did I just stop? But look what this says. Verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You realize how much power your words have? Especially when you get born again. See what happens when you get born again. You get turned into a supernatural seed growing machine. I mean, you can grow good seeds or bad seeds. They'll just grow faster, it seems like, in a born again man. Look at verse 20. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. This is one of your tickets to abundance and prosperity. This is one of your tickets to healing. This is one of your tickets to peace. This is one of your tickets to peace. Anything you need, this is one of your tickets right here. He's telling us right there. Watch what's coming out of your mouth. I like what Glenn Smith had to say. He was preaching on this one day. He said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can choose this day life or choose this day death. Which one do you want? He said, you can have horse shit or sherbet. You choose. And really, that's what it is. I see people talking themselves into the gutter all the time. They can talk themselves out of the gutter just as easy as they could talk themselves into the gutter. What people don't realize is that the only limitations that are holding you back are the ones that you have accepted. God said all things are possible to him that believeth. So, I mean, that doesn't matter what social status you start at. You can start at the bottom. I like Mike Lindell. I watched him. He was a crack addict. He was, plus now he's a multimillionaire that gives millions to people. See, God can do amazing things with people. He just needs a little cooperation. I mean, you have to agree with what he says about you. Unfortunately, most people are so bent on arguing that they'll even argue with God. Words carry power. Make sure that they're carrying positive power. We're not going to get through this session, so we'll finish this up next Wednesday. Here's a challenge for you, though. To spend this next week watching what you say. watching how you say it. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your words. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that Jesus does for us on a daily basis as our high priest, standing at the right hand of God, making our prayers perfect, watching over us. You've given us the Holy Spirit to teach us, guide us, show us how to rightfully divide your word. So, Father, we thank you that we do absolutely have the ability to live by faith and grow in faith. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have a good